T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
And we're going to get more NHL talk here as we're going to have David Pagnotta from thefourthperiod.com joining us on the Wester Hotline here on WGR. David, thanks again for taking the time this morning to join me to talk some stuff, what's going on around the NHL. Much appreciated.
Yeah, of course. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, absolutely. So the last time we got the chance to talk was back in July. At that point, the negotiations for labor with the next CBA seem to be going well. Lots of peaceful talk and everything else going on like that. And they were able to get it done, a new extension. This time around, in terms of getting the 2020-21 season started, things aren't going so well in terms of peaceful talks, are they?
Well, I mean, it's not doom and gloom by any stretch. Not yet, anyway. But there was obviously, as part of the discussions earlier this week, a matter of the finances and the economics surrounding the league that was brought to the attention of the players and in a fashion that they didn't entirely anticipate. They felt with the structure of the deal that they put in place with the new CBA, the concessions that they made, the 10% deferral of payment on top of the 20% escrow mark, that would have been good enough to solidify things for this coming season. But clearly, parameters, economics have changed, and the league has asked for more concessions from a financial perspective from the player side, which certainly hasn't sat well with them. And my understanding is they're going to have another discussion today internally among the NHLPA membership. They're going to continue to have those discussions over the course of the weekend. The NHL, in turn, will have their internal talks as well. Hopefully, we get somewhere early next week, or perhaps over the weekend, but more likely early next week, where we get a better understanding of where both sides truly are and if the NHLPA is willing to make any additional concessions in exchange for, you know, clearly something else. But we're still a few days away from that.
So are those concessions the biggest issue that we're facing here, or what are some of the hot topics that are being discussed between the NHL and NHLPA that have to get hammered out in order to get the 2020-21 season back on track?
Well, it's primarily that. It's primarily an understanding of how, if anyway, that the players are willing to give up some more of their salary. Now, there's two different options that were presented. One was higher escrow figure that definitely did not sit well with the NHL players, and then the other would be an increase in the deferral payments. So effectively, and I think that's the one that the players may concede on in some fashion, but they would certainly want something in exchange for that as part of it. But right now, 10% of their current salary is being deferred back to the owners, effectively as a loan that gets paid back in full to the players throughout parts of this current CBA that they agreed to. Now, if that number increases to, let's say, 15, 16, 17%, they will get that money back. It's not going to be tomorrow, but it'll be within certain parts of the current CBA, that money will be paid back. So it's effectively a loan that they're giving back to the owners versus escrow, where there's no guarantee that that money comes back to them. And that's something that they definitely don't want to increase. Now, we'll see how those discussions, play out over the next, several days. But that's the primary. The other issues that may potentially come up, are schedule. And that's why we're hearing that there's no definitive lock in terms of a lead on the number of games that will be played next season. The NHL wants to maximize it and get 60 or perhaps a little bit more games in for this coming season, but that will depend on when the season starts and when the season starts depends on how much longer these negotiations could go.
So are you optimistic that there is going to be a settlement coming down the line here between both sides at some point, whether it is next week in order to get that January start time that the NHL wants, or do you think that, you know, it may come a little later down there? How optimistic are you that something can get done between both sides in order to get the season going and get the right amount of games that the NHL wants scheduled this season?
Yeah, well, we're definitely going to have a season. I don't think either party wants to even consider the possibility of not having one. So we're definitely going to have a season. It's just a matter at this point of how quickly they can finalize this, you know, discussion that they're having between the two sides and firm up some of the key points. Obviously, the finances are one, and then it comes down to how the schedule is going to play out. The other thing that is kind of on the back end is, are there going to be any restrictions that are going to be put in place from a local perspective within markets? If there are any potential shutdowns in the coming weeks or months, how might that affect the schedule? So that's why the league, for the time being, is likely looking, if we can get things going for, let's say, January 1st or the start, first part of January, and we can get to a 60, somewhere in the 60s or 60 games on the regular season, there's going to be a window between the end of the regular season and the start of the playoffs to allow for the potential of games having to be rescheduled if it's, you know, if they have to be postponed in the first place due to any potential COVID-related matters that come into play or issues that come into play. The NHL wants to wrap the season, or excuse me, the playoffs, last possible day for a Game 7 by July 15th, and that's how they're effectively working their way backwards from that point. Both sides want to get a season. Both sides want to get started pretty quickly. But obviously the economics that are involved here are certainly pressing for the current period.
David Pagnotta from the fourth period joining us here on the Wester Hotline on WGR. So if they can't get that January 1st start time like the NHL wants, what would be the most feasible start time that we could be seeing? Is it all dependent on when the negotiations finally get finalized and everything? Or do they have other set dates where, okay, if we can't get it started by the 1st, then we'll try and start it at this date. If not, then that date by that date. How is that kind of all working out?
Yeah, they've got a bunch of different options in place here from a schedule perspective based on when they start the season. So if it's, you know, January 1st or close to it, then, okay, they can get in, let's say for argument's sake, 60 games and get the season going. If they can't finalize terms by the end of this month and get things going, then they move to their second plan, which I believe is around the 15th of January or, you know, within a few days, give or take, of that, and again, the games get lessened as we progress, and then it's February 1st. My understanding from both sides and speaking to people on the NHL side and the NHLPA side is they want to get the season started in January at some point. Really, it's going to come down to how they can finalize the terms on this. The NHLPA certainly needs a little bit of time to dissect everything internally and discuss things internally, and the NHL, from their side of things, more or less has things mapped out from their perspective on when we can get going. But again, both sides really want to get the season started in January. And I think with the NBA getting going on December 22nd, it just furthers the argument that they can play quicker versus, you know, stretching things out. So both sides want to get going as quickly as they can here. But certainly this is pressing. And I suspect this time next week, we'll have a lot more information as to how quickly we can get the season going.
And the idea of a possible bubble system, at least to start the season, is that idea dead, or is that something that could still be a possibility, or is it more likely that we see NHL teams beginning their seasons playing in their home buildings and getting the chance to either have fans in the arena, or how do you think that's going to work out?
Yeah, nothing's off the table because we don't know how. I mean, things could potentially change on a day-to-day basis. But what I can tell you is they are moving with the notion that they're going to play in their own buildings, that teams will be playing in their own buildings, and the markets that allow fans, you know, per capacity, percentage of capacity, will be allowed to have fans in the building, if that's what, you know, local and state officials will allow, then that's what the NHL will follow suit with as well. But they definitely will be playing in their own buildings. It certainly looks like right now that we're going to have some type of realignment for this season. There was some talk that perhaps from a schedule perspective, the NHL will look at two tiers, two segments of the season to be released schedule-wise, similar to what the NBA is doing. But I was told that's not the case. That's not their focal point right now. They want to focus on a full season. And if it's going to be how they start, then that's, you know, in January, then that's what the schedule will continue to be in April, May, once we get to the postseason. But it certainly, all signs point to it being current buildings. And then from a fan perspective, again, it'll depend on what the local and state officials say from that perspective.
I definitely want to get some Sabres questions in with you because we haven't talked about the Sabres in a while. But the last thing I'll ask you in terms of the national perspective with looking ahead to playoffs, and if there's any discussion about maybe a playoff format change heading into not just this upcoming season with the possibility of shortened schedule, but going forward, and how successful that 2014 playoff system was. I personally wasn't a fan of it from the start, but obviously more playoff games will likely generate more money for the league, but has there been any discussions on the possibility of changing the playoff format this year and beyond? What have you been hearing there?
I've heard it's very unlikely for this season. I don't think they want to go down that road at all. And beyond this season, I told it's a non-starter. The NHL definitely wants to get back to their normal playoff format. They don't want to expand the postseason to become a regular thing. But you know, this season, again, I haven't heard anything. I suspect that if we get to a period that we were when things locked down for last season, it gets to that dire of a situation, then the league would consider it. But I think for this point and for this season and moving on, that they'll get to a normal playoff schedule based to what we're more accustomed to. The reason that they want to get things going and have conceded, the NHL has, to playing less games this season, is remember that, I mean, they were talking about getting close to 80 games up until, I'd say, the last few weeks before things started to shift. And the reason things shifted from less games this season was so that they can get next season back on track. They're hoping, anyway, providing that, obviously, this pandemic, it's under control and we can move forward, you know, come fall of next season, that they can get back to a regular schedule, get the season started in October of 2021 for the 21-22 season, which would certainly be the inaugural season of Seattle, which is another factor as to why they want to get back on track
right
then. So I don't think we're going to see some expansion of playoffs for this season.
David Pagnotta from TheFourthPeriod.com joining us here on the Wester Hotline on WGR. Now shifting to the Sabres, David. It's been a busy offseason for Kevin Adams in his very first offseason as general manager. He goes out and acquire Eric Staal to be the team's second-line center at least for one season until he becomes an unrestricted free agent after this year. Then he goes out and makes maybe the most surprising signing of the entire free agency period with bringing in Taylor Hall on a one-year contract. Looking at everything that they've done this offseason and looking ahead to the 2020-21 season, whenever that may start, what is your biggest question surrounding this Sabres team?
Stability of the goaltending. They did a good job, and Adams and his staff did a really good job in addressing certain areas of this roster, enhancing the secondary score, overall offensive scoring for this team, and being able to spread it out, as well as addressing some of the PK a little bit by bringing in, you know, Reeder, bringing in Eakin as well, giving themselves what they feel anyway for the time being, three centers that could play the positions that they're needed. You obviously have Eichel as the number one. You've got, like you mentioned, Eric Staal coming into the two slot, likely going to start, you know, the season the second line as well, and cementing himself in that position. And then you've got Eakin that could provide a little two-way action from a third line perspective. It spreads things out a little bit. You got Staal likely playing with Jeff Skinner and Taylor Hall, obviously, with Jack Eichel, and you can rotate either Olofsson or Reinhart from first or second line, depending on who meshes best with whom. So they've done a good job in spreading out the offense. They added some depth to the blue line a little bit anyway, with Irwin coming in as a seventh role effectively. But goaltending for me is certainly going to be the question mark for this team. They address some issues up front, but how is the goaltending going to perform throughout the course of the regular season? There was a lot of talk that they were looking to bring in another goaltender, but they didn't necessarily want to go the free agent route. They wanted to, if they were going to change things up, look at somebody, whether it's a Matt Murray or another young goaltender or fairly younger goaltender anyway, that would come in just didn't work out for them. So they're obviously moving forward with the two guys they've got in Hutton and Ullmark. It's going to come down to, for me, how the goaltending can perform, whether or not to show whether or not this team will be a legitimate wild card contender by May now.
Yeah, right. What did you make of the biggest impact offseason moves they made, which were the Eric Staal acquisition from Minnesota and the Hall signing, and what those guys can bring to this young Sabre squad?
I really like the Staal addition. I mean, outside of the fact that there is some connectivity there with Skinner, just the veteran presence that he brings in and the experience that he brings in, professionalism, certainly goes a long way, especially on a younger team. And being able to showcase that strength and stability that he brings will certainly pay dividends, at least from a locker room perspective. And that, you know, winning mentality tends to spread throughout the course of the locker room. So being able to bring in that type of a player into this room, I think, is certainly important from the team. And then we'll see, obviously, what he can do from an on-ice perspective. They certainly believe he's capable, at least, of holding the fort as a legit 2C. And perhaps, you know, his numbers continue to escalate if, you know, Skinner and whoever's on the right side performs, you know, well for them. So I really like that addition. And then, of course, Taylor Hall, no question, the surprise of the offseason. But at the same time, a heck of a move. It shows the team that they mean business. It shows Jack Eichel as well that if things go well, that they're doing what they can to put this team into playoff contention. And at the same time, giving Hall the opportunity to get acclimated to his surroundings there. And if things go well, entice him to sign long term. So these were calculated moves specifically for this team. I definitely like both of them.
What about the Sabres in the draft this year? They maybe surprised a lot of people in drafting Jack Quinn with the 8th overall pick just because of some of the players that were available there at that time, and players like Marco Rossi, his teammate in Ottawa, and also Cole Perfetti from Saginaw. But what did you think of Buffalo's draft from top to bottom for them?
I like it. Look, they feel that Quinn was the best player available to them in that 8th position, a little bit bigger than the other two that you mentioned, a little more well-rounded, some might argue. So you give him an opportunity to come into this team and maybe click with some of the other young kids that are there. He's going to have his opportunity to prove himself, certainly from a World Junior perspective with Team Canada. So we'll see how that goes as he battles for positioning in a roster spot there. But I like it. They felt that was, again, a little bit bigger of a guy. A guy that's perhaps more well-rounded across the board from a hockey sense and hockey ability perspective. So they like that. And then you continue to address yourself, you know, as the rounds progress from best player available. So with their scouting staff and what they felt was the right moves to make, it doesn't necessarily mean you're going in the positioning of drafting key components or positions on your team. You effectively go for the best player once you get into the later rounds. Like every team does. So they feel that they certainly came out pretty strong in this draft by bringing in some capable, hockey sense, IQ type of players that could be brought into the mix. I like it. I think with the ability that Quinn has, with Dylan Cousins already in the mix from a center position, could certainly be some pretty good points from a future perspective for the Buffalo Sabres.
You know, the offseason, especially as of late, has kind of quieted down, not just for Buffalo, but for every team, really, in the NHL until we kind of figure out how everything's going to be looking going forward. But do you think that there's anything more the Sabres can do this offseason, or do you think that what they've got in place right now is pretty much what we're going to see heading into January, February?
I would anticipate the roster the way it is, being effectively the roster that they're going to be rolling out with once the season gets going, unless, of course, you know, maybe one of the younger kids comes in and steals a position, or not steals necessarily, but I guess earns a position, within the big club. But unless something falls into their lap, there's going to be a lot of movement here. Once we get an idea of when the season starts, between that period and once the season gets going, we're going to have a really good indication as to the type of movement that's going to be out there for some of the other teams. There are teams that need to shed salary. There are teams that need to be cap compliant. There are teams that are still looking at free agents, and there's still a lot of potential free agents available out there. So we'll see kind of how that goes. And if you know, they take advantage of a situation, based on what may be available from another team's perspective, they could certainly pounce if the opportunity arises. I'm sure that Kevin Adams is going to be keeping his finger on the pulse of how things go. But I would anticipate league-wide activity. We'll see if any opportunities present themselves Buffalo's way.
And last thing I want to ask you, David, obviously with the moves that the Sabres have made and the makeup of the roster and how things could be going in the team now with Ralph Kruger heading into his second season as head coach in Buffalo, do you think the Sabres are in contention for the playoffs this season? Because I remember when we talked last time in July how you had written an article where the Sabres need to be in contention for next season in order to kind of avoid that possible inevitable situation where Jack Eichel might ask for out or worst case scenario sort of stuff like that. But do you think what the Buffalo Sabres have done this offseason and the looking ahead to next season, have they put themselves in contention for playoffs next year?
I think so. I think without a doubt, like I said, they addressed the offensive game by bringing in certainly Hall, by bringing in Cody Eakin from a two-way perspective for the bottom six. They bring in Thomas Reeder as well. We're going to see some of the younger kids getting an opportunity to play a little bit more and getting some different opportunities this coming season. I like that. I like their blue line overall from a depth perspective. And again, it for me, it comes down to goaltending, as I mentioned. But overall, I think they've addressed some key issues for this team. I like the moves that they make, and I would be surprised if they're not in contention for a wild card position this season.
Well, David, your time is always appreciated here on WGR. We hope to get the chance to talk to you again soon. And next time we talk to you, maybe there'll actually be some hockey going on, and hopefully everything gets sorted out. And, again, thanks again for taking the time today, and have a good holiday season as well.
Thank you. You too, guys. Looking forward to this season getting going, and hopefully we get some good news in the next week or so.
All right. Thanks, David.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At-Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At-Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.